Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Calvin Booth, Sheldon Williams, Joey Devine, Rodney Carney, Mr. Bad Vibes himself, Rashawn McCants, Sean Keane, Mark Madsen, Bobby Brown. It's his prerogative to play in the G League as a 35-year-old. Special guest, Katie Heindel. Patreons, Della Mooka. Thank you, Della Mooka. Graham Linehan. Thank you, Graham. Always read the name. Thank you, always read the name, whoever you are. Musical guest, the Pendletones. And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And I am here, as always, hosting a new episode. Hey, big news, listeners. I finally got a soundboard app, so check it out. I'm here as always with my co-host Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Can you play some co-host music for me? Sound effects?
Yeah, sure. How's it?
I'm doing pretty good, Joey.
All right,
just great. Got out of the hot tub. Okay, I don't know why that music to me said hot tub. Something that now that I'm a grown man, I associate only with old people's houses.
That little giggle you heard there is, of course, our friend from Canada, from Vice Sports, from the basketball podcast, from the Dishes and Dimes podcast, from Yahoo Sports Canada, from the basketballfeelings.substack.com, or however you say a substack, is, of course, our friend Uproxx. Also, Uproxx, our friend Katie Heindel. Katie, I'm so glad you're back.
You nailed it with all of them. Did you write them down?
I did not. That was all coming off the top of my dome. Did I forget any of them?
Real GM.
Yeah. That's the
complex. But it all makes it worthwhile because you got to use that sound effect.
Yeah, I believe that Joey and I are part of the extended Uproxx podcast-o-matic universe.
It's true.
Because we go on the
dude, I don't even
broadcast sometimes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the okay. They, I didn't
we're,
know that.
We're honorary film drunkards, I would say.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
It's going. You know, good. I got my second Moderna shot this week, and boy, did it feel like I got hit by a truck for 3 days.
Oh man!
And boy, are my blood cells vaccinated.
I know Canada does not have any vaccines right now because Bill Gates is hoarding the patents, and everybody in Canada is also only allowed to use Windows 7 at this point, too. Mm-hmm. It's also Bill Gates' fault. You know what I did the day after I got my second Pfizer shot, Katie?
You went for a hike.
I did go for a hike. I did go for a hike. Yeah. And you know why? Because I was peer pressured into it by my family. What? My muscles felt really sore. And then I went home and I slept for 3.5 hours.
Joey, were you like just like laid out?
Yes. I had a fever of 100.3. Also had like severe chills at one point, to the point where I was trying to send my work an email telling them I couldn't make it tomorrow and could not hold the phone because my hands were shaking so much.
No. Were you just continually dropping it on yourself?
Yes, I dropped it on my face twice. Also had like really bad body aches. I had a super bad headache. I slept for like 15 hours on Wednesday.
Yeah. That's because of the chip.
Yeah. See,
you got some malware.
I'd like to believe that, like, I heard you get worse side effects based on how strong your immunity is. Mm-hmm. I mean, your immune system is, so I would like to believe that it turns out the only place in my life where I'm strong is my immune system, and that's what I've learned here. Because I've always said I'm weak mentally, I'm weak physically, and I'm weak emotionally. All right.
But Joey, now you're immortal.
Yeah, and
autistic. Oh, no.
Get the vaccine if you can, though. Don't be an Andrew Wiggins. That is what we always say on this podcast.
You know, and I want to send a special message to one of our biggest fans and listeners. He's a Patreon at the $100 level. This is a certain message. Doug Ford, get it together. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're a big fan. You listen to us. You're going to be a guest soon enough. But get it together, buddy.
Doug That's Ford all. Listens to us?
He's a super fan.
All right. We brought Katie on for a reason, and Katie wrote about Kevin Love this week. And guess who's in the news? It's Kevin Love himself. Let's robot.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Why is Kevin Love in the news this week?
Well, you know, a year and some change. Actually, it's a good 14 months after Kevin Love's last extreme frustration. He had another moment of frustration again against the Toronto Raptors, much like happened last year in a game in the Raptors' new permanent home of Tampa, Florida. No, they're a terrible place. The Cavs are playing the Raptors, and rookie Malachi Flynn got a layup. And during the play, a Raptor I honestly did not know existed until I read this news story, Freddie Gillespie. I guess pushed Kevin Love in the back, and it was maybe the second time he had an uncalled foul. So Kevin Love was so mad and frustrated that when they tossed him the ball as he was going to the inbound spot, he just kind of slapped at it. And I think he was trying to like knock it out of bounds, or he was just like mad and not really understanding. Anyway, he ended up hitting the ball directly to Raptors rising star Stanley Johnson, who passed it to aforementioned Malachi Flynn, who then made a three. I'm going to give you Kevin Love's quote. It was very viral clip. I'm going to give you Kevin Love's quote after the game. Mm-hmm. And
please do.
I'm going to say it in the voice of a literal beach boy. Okay, this is not really an impression of Kevin Love, but just a guy from the beach.
Which guy from the beach, boys?
No, just a literal boy who's from the beach. A boy from the beach, like a lowercase B beach boys. Okay.
Not to say too much that could get me fined, but it was the officiating, bro. When I snagged that gnarly ball, I didn't realize it was even in bounds. I was a little thrown off. I was going to go grab it, bro, and throw it back into passing the ball to DG and move on. I get the optics. That's something I have to take on the chin and understand that was a very not cool look. Hey, that's my wave, Jetty Osman.
Here's the thing, Sean. I want to ask you, do you believe Kevin Love?
That he didn't realize it was inbounds? I mean, I don't think he thought about it, but here's what I'll say. I've never seen that happen at any level of basketball in the thousands of...
Katie, do you believe that? Do you believe Kevin Love when he says this?
No, man. He was so intent on just slapping the ball.
Yes! I would believe.
I mean, he hits it so hard.
I would believe Kevin Love if Kevin Love didn't already have an on-court temper tantrum.
Well, let's
like
go
one year ago today.
Let's talk about that temper tantrum real quickly. Yeah. So what happened last year? It was two games in a row because they played the Raptors on New Year's Eve. 2019, and he had gotten fined because of a play that this was a clip that did not go viral. Kevin Love got mad at some point, and if you watch the clip, it's not clear what sets him off. There's not really any context to it. It could be the refs, I don't know. But it's a shot of the huddle at like a timeout. And Kevin Love comes in, does not join the huddle, and just starts kind of like open hand slapping his seat on the bench, which is something that didn't Enes Kanter break his wrist doing that at one point? Uh-huh. Kevin Love is doing it in a safer way, but like it looks dumber because he's slapping a chair like a giant baby. Yeah. And so, So before the game where he freaked out, he got into a really loud argument with Kobe Altman because they fined him $1,000 for slapping that chair. $1,000 of his $24 million salary or whatever it is. Anyway, so later that day, he got really mad when Colin Sexton held the ball too long. And I guess he was posting up and he was open, but... the Sexton was like running down the clock. And anyway, he ran up from his post position, demanded the ball, and then like threw the ball really hard at Chetty Osman, which was also weird because it was basically underhand too. It's like the angriest pass in NBA history, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, he whips it.
Yeah.
And the whole game, he is just constantly throwing his arms up like, what the hell, guys? And there's another play where, very similar to this play, where a guy just blows by him for a layup while Kevin Love has his back turned and his arms up. Mm-hmm. And after that, he apologized to the team. He said he was frustrated. He said he was 31 and he was acting like he was 13. He needed to be better about it. Mm-hmm. But... he had a very similar meltdown. And then in the game after this, I didn't really fact check this initially, but he apparently went like the first 24 minutes he was in the game in the next game after this and did not take a shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what I want to make clear about the first, the angry pass at Chetty Osman when he throws a ball at a teammate hard.
Yeah.
He is not part of the play there. He runs out of his way and just starts angrily demanding the ball to throw it at Chetty Osman.
And I believe, I may be wrong about this, but I think Colin said it's like the end of a quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they're holding the ball for the last shot. Uh-huh. And I actually think that Kevin Love was, like, so mad he didn't recognize the game situation, which is why the other Cavs are reacting like a parent is having a tantrum. Mm-hmm. And they sort of, like, don't logically even understand what's happening at the time. Like all of, I mean, everybody on the team is younger than him, which is also difficult, but there is Chetty Osmond really, it's like he saw his dad punch the wall.
I mean, when you watch that, it's so weird because it does just look like some dude got up like out of his seat, you know, like out of his courtside seat and just went storming onto the court. Like there's something so that like takes you out of the game when you watch that clip. Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre.
It is like a dad is going onto the court of a children's game, because you sort of forget how big Kevin Love is, even in relation to most other NBA players. Like he's still very tall.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, to a backcourt where two of the guys aren't really even 6 feet tall, it just really has more of a like, I think I'm wrong about it being like an angry dad. It's more like a neighbor. It's almost like Kevin Love is in his own personal version of the slap. You know,
yeah, he's
about to
slap.
Like hit someone else's kid. It's not like an abusive father. It's like an abusive stranger, or like a dad coming out of the stands to fight a little league ref, little league ump. You know what I mean?
So no, I'm gonna say that is exhibit A, B, and C of I don't believe Kevin Love when he says he wasn't doing another weird angry thing on a court no one's seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, because you just wrote about, talk a little bit about how Kevin Love makes.
Yeah,
sure.
I have a pull quote from your article I'm going to read because I really liked it too. But you, okay. You should go first.
I feel
read your words back to you.
I love it when you do, but I feel like kind of two ways about it. You know, like a part of me, one, I agree with you. I don't really believe him anymore. And then the longer he kind of drags us out, I also didn't. Like, he had to apologize, but the apology was too over the top. It's like when someone does something really stupid and you just want them to acknowledge it so everyone can move on. Like, you don't want them to talk about it for, like, 15 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was like, my intention wasn't to, like, disrespect the game. Like, you don't need to say all that kind of stuff. Like, then you're just kind of making everyone feel awkward and almost, like, guilty. It's mm-hmm. very weird. So I didn't like that at all. But a part of me is also just, like, he's clearly so unhappy. He's just got to get out of there. Mm-hmm. I think he probably feels really weird feeling old, probably for the first time, like very old in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I do watching all those Cavs players, and I love them. I love Jared Allen. But I just think like it's just getting to this sad kind of like desperate wrung out point, and nobody wants to watch it. But mm-hmm. I also am losing kind of sympathy for him. He's sort of just frustrating.
I have this point. Zero sympathy for him at this point. I mm-hmm. think.
Well, not a year later. Like,
well, it's like the it's how angry he gets that I don't like. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's very outsized. Like, it's always a very outsized, and not just like the reaction on court. Like, even kind of how angry he's getting at himself and these like what he'll say after. Like, it's just it doesn't feel right to watch it.
So, can I give you Kevin Love's box score line from last night's game?
Please
yeah,
do.
I know it, so, but please.
So the Wizards lost 122-93. Kevin Love played 22 minutes. He had 10 rebounds. He had zero offensive rebounds. He had one assist. He had three turnovers. He had two fouls, and he did not attempt a shot.
Very cool.
But you know what he didn't.
He didn't shoot once.
A long embrace.
And let me tell you, the people on the team that did take shots include Dean Wade, who I always think mm-hmm. is maybe Dwayne Wade, but it's Dean Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Mifiondu Cabangeli.
Yeah.
Cabangeli. He took five shots. Wade mm-hmm. took seven shots. Everyone on the team shot at least twice, and Kevin Love basically just didn't participate in the part of the game, or most parts of the game, it seems like. Now, granted, he was plus five.
Can I say another part of his apology that made me really uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Yes.
When he said, quote, "I'll fucking rock with Cleveland until the day I die."
That yeah, is because... the most Mike Love fucking bullshit ever. Like, look, that's the thing that bugs me so much about everything he's done. He has revealed himself to be a Mike Love-ass teammate. Like, this is all the biggest fucking Mike Love. In fact, actually, hold on one second. This is the most Mike Love fucking bullshit of all time. Like, acting like, oh yeah, I'm just a cool little get-along guy. I'm vegan now. And then you're throwing the ball at your cousin. You're telling him he can't make pet sounds again. And your cousin is just a genius, and his name is Darius Garland.
It is crazy. Like, okay, well, I'll say this. He seems like he's, can I give you something that reminds me of this, that Mike Love, who continually referred to himself as a
the
progressive
lead singer of the Beach Boys. Oh no, okay. Yeah.
He has described himself as a progressive, even though he was photographed shaking hands with Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of him with his arms around Nancy Reagan performing for the White House. Mm-hmm. He also praised Donald Trump for his support of music historically. And then he performed at Trump's inauguration. Mm-hmm. And he
Mar-a-Lago
played...
on New Year's Eve.
Yes. He also performed at his re-election campaign fundraiser in Newport Beach, and that's when he was disavowed by Brian Wilson and Al Jardine.
You know,
and
what?
We're just like, we have nothing to do with the Trump benefit. We hate this guy.
Speaking of like bad politics, Katie pointed this out at one point. Kevin Love, on was it 4th of July weekend that one time, posted himself wearing a vintage Reagan Bush hat.
Oh,
on summer
yeah,
vacation watch?
Yeah, okay. On a summer vacation watch. Damn. You didn't point out the hat, I don't think, but I noticed it. It was like, he was like, you definitely made fun of his vibe, though, in your post.
Right,
he was
and
wearing
it was
like a vintage Reagan
of...
Bush hat. It was like, I quote unquote, ironic, just like it's quote-unquote ironic when wrote back in the USSR or whatever. That is a real story, guys. Mike Love claims he told the Beatles how to write back in the...
Even though it was a song that was making fun
of him. Yeah.
If you want to, you can read a really obnoxious article on Yahoo Money. I don't know if they're directly
affiliated. My favorite website.
With Yahoo Sports Canada, but you can look through a really obnoxious, maybe we can link to it in the show notes, Joey, I'll send it in this, it's inside Kevin, basketball star Kevin Love's waterfront Tribeca apartment. So he switched out the original
Architectural Digest house tour.
Katie, what was your takeaway of his home?
He's very, very proud of it.
Yeah,
sure.
So
his office, I think it was his office that I was a bit like, why are you so proud?
So his let me share this in the let me share this in the chat so you guys can look at these pictures. I'm sorry. I'm slowing it down. Play a sound effect quick.
I also didn't like that he felt like he had to hide his TV with like weird shutters. That's fine.
Oh, he's one of those people.
Oh, it's really it's very weird though, because it makes it look like a window, but it's not a window.
I dated a woman once who didn't want to have a TV in her bedroom because she was afraid The Ring was going to happen.
I mean, when that movie came out, it was a frenzy.
so he does hide his TV with some shutters. He said that the original floors were too pretty, and he had to put in reclaimed oak flooring, and they added exposed beams to make it seem like it was industrial. But the main thing I want you to notice in this first picture, guys, is that, Kevin Love, there's a neon sign in script on this wall that says Defiance.
Oh, you know, when I saw the video, I thought it said Defense. I should tell him that's funny. But Defiance is worse.
Okay. And here's a quote. When I was 18 years old, I had written down in a notebook that I wanted to own an apartment and live in New York by the time I was 30, says Kevin Love. And yeah, I closed on and received the key to this apartment 3 months before my 30th birthday. Now, that sounds like a rags to riches story. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's like someone
except
who's
his
down
uncle
and his
is Mike Love.
Yeah, he's really rich, and he was a highly praised recruit going to UCLA, where it was like,
going to UCLA, where they very clearly pay their players in an era when they very clearly were paying their players.
Oh yeah, but also just like, it wasn't like a real long shot that he'd be able to afford an apartment in New York City someday. Like, if he'd written that down when he was 8 years old, he'd be like, oh, okay. But at 18, it's like, oh, the number 3 high school recruit in America had enough confidence that in 12 years, he'd make enough money for an apartment in New York City. He was drawn to it because he could just look out the window and see the West Side Highway. It makes him grounded, apparently, mm-hmm. as he yeah. said. Makes him really grounded.
You know what that apartment gives him? Good vibrations, baby.
Well, at one point, Kevin Love demanded that his carbon fiber chairs be covered with Ralph Lauren home Telluride earth fabrics, and it wanted it to be done on time.
He is,
and
like,
they
if
said there
Tom's
was one
shoes
person
was
ahead of him in line, and that person was Ralph Lauren himself, guys.
He is like, oh, if Tom's boy. Shoes was a person, like pretending
really
to do
accurate.
A good thing, but really it's like a super capitalist bullshit that's like hiding behind being a good person. So my question,
he also bragged about ordering a $10,000 toilet that he kept the bathroom all the same. He loved it, but they ordered the rich. Oh, I'm so mad about this toilet.
What I want to end on here for this section on this story is I want to ask you guys, is Kevin Love the saddest boy in the end?
I said that about a year and a half ago, and I think he's like, the thing I'm not realizing is that Kevin Love is, I always focus on like the sadness and that like the game has passed him by and that he's just so frustrated in this situation, but I think this story by Yahoo Money has reminded me that the nephew of Mike Love is like definitely a pretty big asshole himself, right? I'm not trying to call names, but like, he's like a deeply unhappy person in a way that doesn't really have anything to do with basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't like the narrative that like he, because I did see a couple stories out after that were just like, he should know better. He let the team down, blah, blah, blah. He should be a leader, da, da, da. I don't really agree with that because I don't really think he even cares about that or wants that, you know, and I don't think he would even be good at that. So I think that's irrelevant.
I don't even think they want that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, maybe they did, but that's not what they got. And it became, it should have been clearer before now, you know what I mean? I think he's sad in a way that's just like, you can't, and this is me talking. I mm-hmm. do, like, I managed to find a way to like empathize with.
Yeah, you'll empathize anybody. With anybody. Yeah.
Anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody.
You're like a hardcore empath.
Yeah. But there's something about it that, like, again, I said, like, it's like, I don't know if it's like a facetiousness, something about it makes me pretty uncomfortable because he just seems so mad, and he seems mad at the situation that he kind of put himself in. And then this like Groundhog Day situation that he keeps like dragging his teammates back to, like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like the Cavs were like, they keep having all these nice little bright moments this season, and it's just like he's flying them back into just like, you nobody can be happy because I'm still having like a temper tantrum. I'm just over here fuming. And like, he's just kind of like he's just like sucking all that kind of energy like back on himself. I really don't like it. So yeah, no, I don't feel bad for him.
I just don't think the team has particularly bad vibes aside from him. Like, exactly. Everyone else is kind of on the page of like, yeah, we're not as good, but we're building something, and we got Jared Allen. Like, exchanging Jared Allen for Andre Drummond essentially seems like such a vibes upgrade, as no matter what it does on the court. And Kevin Love is just like pouting away, basically. And,
like, he's just like a doom cloud. Yeah.
A year ago, I got it a little bit more because Darius Garland and Colin Sexton were kind of bummers, but they're really good and fun now. Like, and Larry Nance is fun and good. Like,
also, like, the kindest. Larry Nance Jr. is just, like, one of the kindest people.
Like,
did I ever tell you that when I interviewed him probably about a year ago, and he told me that his wife compared him. He said something, he's like, I'm so patient. My wife just compared me to a couch. But he was being so earnest, and he's like,
that's,
you know,
so it's funny, Katie.
Not a far off. He's like, it's not a far off comparison. He's like, I could just sit all day, think about things. He's wonderful.
Can I read you a line from your own article that I think was really good?
Sure.
Okay. For Love, there's a sense that he's leapfrogged over several potential iterations of himself in two back-to-back seasons of uncertainty and injury. Not yet sure on what he wants the next years of his career to look like, while getting frustrated when he lands in the exact same place. And it just feels like, just the fact that he's having a tantrum 15 months after having like tantrums in two consecutive games, mind you, just like, and then he again 15 months later had tantrums in consecutive games again.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's so nice when you see an NBA story like Carmelo Anthony, like getting on the same page as like, this is a different phase in my career, and like how much people want to love these guys too. Whereas it's like Kevin Love is stuck, but he's made himself stuck, and he could be doing something of like, he's not even showing another team what, like, you know, 32-year-old Kevin Love brings to a team, which seems like it would be something.
He's not Blake Griffin, where it's like, okay, is like, Blake Griffin was like, is like broken down physically. Kevin Love, theoretically, the things he's good at, shooting and passing and rebounding, are skill sets that should age well if you're not a huge fucking baby turning into a basketball version of your uncle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Blake Griffin this year, what is he doing? Like, playing center, doing whatever the Nets need him to do, like understanding himself. Whereas Kevin Love is like, I mean, it was nice that he went public about struggling with depression and stuff, but he does not seem like someone who, like, sees a therapist or is interested in understanding himself, at least as a basketball player.
I also want to say, real quick tangent on Mike Love. Look,
yeah,
we've let him get away with this for too long. He wears hats with the Beach Boys logo on it, specifically made to look like he's a veteran on vacation of the Navy, where it looks like, you know, when you see like a Navy veteran hat with like the name of the ship on it. Mike Love wears those hats on purpose. Get him for stealing valor. We need to get Mike Love for something. It's been too long.
Oh, yeah, he's constantly like a Navy guy.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He wasn't in the Navy.
He's like, we were the Omaha Beach Boys.
all right.
You know what it is? It's like there's a sense of expectation, but also no one knows what he wants. Like, right. He doesn't even know what he wants. Like, I don't even know that he really wants to play. Like, he's mad he's not a leader, so he'll go and, like, storm over to these guys and, like, clap in their faces. But he also doesn't want to be a leader. He, like, doesn't want to be the vet. But
yeah,
I'm not
at least
even
his
sure
uncle
wants-
knows what he wants, and that is more money! Give me the money!
Maybe that's what he wants. I don't know. I'm also just like, does he want to play basketball anymore? And it would be perfectly fine if he didn't. It might actually be better for everyone if he was like, you know what? I don't. Maybe I don't.
Katie, are you aware of what's happening in the NFL right now?
A draft.
With Aaron Rodgers. No, with Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers.
You know, do you know who he is? Though, right?
Do I? No,
he's the
I don't.
Quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
And is he bad?
No, he's really good.
He's a bad guy?
He was the league MVP.
He won the
year.
MVP last year, and currently, right now, he's been guest hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah, he just finished his run.
Oh, this guy.
As
okay.
the host of Jeopardy.
Okay, so he's been guest hosting Jeopardy, and now he's threatening the Packers that he'll just retire and be the host of Jeopardy. After winning the MVP last year. And here's what I think Kevin Love should do. Hey, Pat Sajak, time for you to retire. Kevin Love, go host Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, but like, imagine what would happen if someone's like picking a bad letter or they can't read it right. Like, he might break the Wheel of Fortune.
It would be.
Come on!
But how funny would it be?
Before and after!
How funny would
it's
it be?
It's obviously though? Droplet and icicle!
How funny would it be, though, if for the rest of our lives from here on out, Jeopardy was hosted by an NFL quarterback and Wheel of Fortune was hosted by Kevin Love?
Yeah, and they both were just like, you know, it was too stressful. We just felt like we were let down by our organizations.
But they seem to have different vibes. I can tell that just by looking at this other guy.
Well, that's why he doesn't get to, that's why Kevin Love doesn't get to get a shot at hosting Jeopardy. Because Jeopardy is too good for Kevin Love. All right.
It's Sean, true.
What else do you want to talk to Katie about?
I wanted to talk to her, well, there were two things I wanted to talk to her about. If that's okay, Katie, I think we're going to talk to you about your dream first.
My dream? Okay.
You,
is it
you
because I guilted you because no one wanted
no,
to talk
no,
to
no, you? No, it was good. I just, you did guilt me a little bit because we did do a fake Italian podcast that was related to your own podcast called Hey Basketball on, well, Slammed Up did it. We didn't do it. And you did ask me if we had talked about your dream. And, you know, I don't talk about other people's dreams without their consent. That's how I was raised. But you can talk about your own dream. And we want to give you a forum for that.
Thank you. I'm going back in my mind to the dream. It was very big.
I can tell you. Well, we were in Montreal for
one. We were in Montreal. Yeah, we were in the old port specifically of Montreal. Do you know where that is?
Joey and I have neither of us has been to Montreal. Oh,
I know it seems like we're members of the Arcade Fire, but we're not.
No,
so.
If you were, we wouldn't be friends.
I have been to Toronto, but okay. At the time I was not. We weren't friends yet. That
well, you know how everyone says like Montreal's like a York. Or have you even heard this? Everyone in Canada says this. It's like a Euro city. It's like, it's more European
yes,
than anything
yeah.
else.
They say that around Toronto here too. Here,
that's not
actually.
True.
I know.
That's so weird.
Toronto, I'm like, wow, it's like nice Chicago. Like, I don't mean like nice as in like Chicago's bad, but just like, there's like a level of maybe like smiling and politeness that Toronto has that Chicago might lack to a general degree.
Well,
I don't want to get
Montreal,
in trouble. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
It's okay.
But
it's
they,
like that
they're both nice cities. Like it, I wasn't like Toronto. This is so foreign. And then I was just like, wait, you can just tip by throwing a heavy coin into a cup? I love this bar.
But the old port of Montreal is, I guess, the closest. It's the closest thing to Europe that Canada has. It's just like cobblestone streets. You got the Notre Dame Basilica, ancient church. You just got like some older looking buildings. Everything's just like made of stones. So we were sitting out there. We were on, I think we were on a patio, but we were having breakfast. And Joy was eating a Caesar salad.
Mm-hmm. Very unlike me.
Sean, that is not a joke.
It was like not an edible bulb because they wouldn't do that in Montreal, but it was like a huge, huge like oblong plate of Caesar salad. And Sean, you are eating a beef stew.
That is very Sean.
That is absolutely on brand.
But for breakfast?
Yeah, I mean, Sean would do that.
It's not out of control. Yeah. Like, I mean, probably it's a little like the only reason I wouldn't is because of social pressure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Fear of judgment.
But yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I would just be like, nothing against breakfast food, but mm-hmm. I love stew.
Yeah. And you were really enjoying it, but. I don't remember what I think I was just having a regular style breakfast. But our waiter was Dennis Rodman.
And oh man.
He was wearing a soccer jersey. I don't know, peripherally I know about soccer, but in the dream, like I couldn't tell you what this actually looked like, but in the dream I think it was a Barcelona jersey. I just knew it, but I don't even know what that looks like. You know, when you know mm-hmm. something like that in your dreams. And then I think I was like, hey, like that looks really good on you. Like, not like, just like you would compliment someone on any piece of clothing. And he offered to give it to me. Like he started taking off.
That I think seems on that brand for Michael, for him to just take his shirt off too.
Yeah. Yeah. Dennis Rodman. Yeah.
That was it. It was really nice. It made me kind of sad when I woke up because I guess I just felt a little bit wistful of the time that we had breakfast at Dennis Rodman was our server.
Well, hopefully we'll all be at Summer League again someday and we'll be able to get breakfast with Dennis Rodman.
I imagine it'll be more like Adam Morrison serving us prime rib at like 2 a.m, but that... Otherwise, I feel like that. And hey, look, we do like to hang out in the older part of Vegas. That True. Is technically probably more like Europe than the rest of Las Vegas, except in Paris Casino, right? They're like, yeah, people just wandering around, troubadours.
I forgot
There's
to
a lot
do
of troubadours on Fremont Street.
I forgot to do this before we changed topics, but. I might as well do it here. Speaking of Kevin Love.
Yes.
I had our friend. We don't know very many Cavs fans, but we do know one, Peter from the Air Buds podcast. I called him to get his take on the Kevin Love situation. So here is Peter from Air Buds.
Hey, this is Peter. Just talking about Kevin Love for a second, and I have a couple things that I want to say. Basically, I hate him. I hate him. I can't believe I have to watch someone whine who makes $30 million a year. He can throw all the temper tantrums he wants, and yet I have to watch Kevin Porter Jr. get 50 points because he got pissed they moved his locker to the Houston Rockets. Kevin, there's not enough therapy in the world to fix what it's like to watch you play basketball.
So that was pretty good.
So that's a great call from our friend Peter. Thank you, Peter. Listen to the Air Buds podcast and listen to the Basketball podcast and Dishes and Dimes. Hold on. Do I have a breaking dish? I don't. I do have this one. Dishes and Dimes. all right. Sean, did you want to say something to Katie about the NFL draft really quick before we get out
of
here? Yeah.
Just because Katie, and before you've been like a little bit baffled at America's love of college sports before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the NFL draft is the weirdest version of this because it's essentially none of the wonder that you like about the NBA draft, like the hopes and the dreams and like the dread. The draft suits aren't that big a deal, but it's a lot of basically I just wanted to talk to you about the NFL draft a little bit and how I just think you would find it really horrifying.
Are there any?
Well, it
happen last year for the first time? And it was like, that was when everybody was in their houses, obviously. But what people were like, you could see people like in their bathrooms.
It was kind of more charming because all the teams had like Zoom draft rooms and you got to see a lot of people's families. And there were just very human moments.
It humanized it. Yeah.
Bill Belichick for the Patriots clearly had trained his dog to look like he was making the pick. So they cut back to his very sparse kitchen where he had his computer and his dog was sitting in the chair.
Oh, I did.
Which would be an accident, except he's like the most methodical man in the world. so he definitely set that up. So that was kind of nice. They went back to a live event this year in Cleveland. Not a mask to be seen in, this would be Ernie Johnson's America if his preferred candidate, John Kasich, had won the presidency. But, so they have an event where a lot of the players have to come in and get, like, weighed. And they get measured and they get their official measurements.
That's gross.
Well, they do that in the NBA, but it feels like no one really cares about the weight part. They just see how tall they are. What's that?
Like they televise that part of it?
They televise it like all day. That's so weird. Like guys seeing how long they can. I mean, some of the events are similar to what NBA players do, but they don't call it a combine. That's what it's called, like a place where you would just be pouring in raw materials for agriculture. A combine is what they call it.
They call the NBA draft one a combine as well.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah. I think just the fact that it always takes place in Indianapolis and there's like hundreds of them, whereas the NBA draft is like not that many guys are there. Maybe that makes it worse.
Well,
I don't know.
A lot of the big guys now have so much power in the draft, right? They're afraid to piss people off or whatever or lose their draft stock that like now in the NBA draft, like James Wiseman doesn't have to get measured if he doesn't want to.
Right. Yeah.
So there's
I think but that's like, the case. And some guys like don't do the bench press.
Yeah.
But who's going to get mad? They're not getting measured.
Teams who aren't going to draft them or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the players have a lot less power in the NFL as well. Mm-hmm. So you have these guys doing like three cone drills. And so when you see these guys getting drafted, it's always like they're 40 time down to the 100th, which whatever, that's basically meaningless. And then you'll get like their 10 yard time. And then they'll talk about their broad jump and all these like basically reducing these guys to data points as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that I feel like the NFL draft, because you're drafting a bunch of people and there's more teams, it has a little more in common with almost like online dating, I would say, where you've just got all these measurables and the teams just feel more desperate. Like the NBA, it feels like they pick a guy and it's like, yeah, he might make the team. With the NFL draft, you constantly have like not only does it feel needy with the teams, but they literally make lists for months about all the needs the team has. So it's like it feels needy and then it literally is needy. Like there's a list of all the needs they need. Anyway, I just thought it was a very weird experience. Also, just that the college sports angle of it, that people are just constantly like, oh, he played at a good college and he weighs 325 pounds. Good pick.
Are there cute stories? At least
You know, there are
they
some...
They lean sad,
last,
though. They
last like year went very sad. Actually, the NBA draft also leaned sad last time. Didn't it?
Not the son of the florist.
Whew. No, that's true. But no, the last year's NBA NFL draft was so many stories about, like, and he was dedicated to the NFL when he when his brother saved him from drowning, but drowned himself. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh my god. And learning about like house fires and shit, like just bad stuff.
There was a story today, Katie, I think you would have liked, where this guy's mom told a story about it. He got drafted today, where at 4 years old, they were, of course, poor. But at 4 years old, the son looked at his mom and said, "Mom, I can't live like this anymore. I'm making the NFL.
Uh-huh. That was Micah Parsons, who was drafted to the Dallas Cowboys. That made me want to root for the Cowboys so much.
Wait, it's still happening today?
Yeah.
It's
that's the other thing. It's a three-day event. Yeah.
I think it is over now. It is over now. Seven rounds, 32 teams. The first night is just the first round.
Because this is going to be the NBA draft used to be like 13 rounds.
Yeah.
And then, like teams would start drafting like joke people. They'd like draft like whoever went first in the NFL draft on the off chance that he would decide tomorrow he wanted to play basketball.
Right. Because when you're in the 13th round, also that it's like at that point it was like a 9-team league.
Because that was some of the guys were like, though, about the draft was like, it's weird to me that the NFL draft is so despo, because I always thought it was more about like, quantity mm-hmm. of draftees, right? Because right. like an NFL team is like a small city.
Yeah,
and actually the teams that tend to have success are just the people that look at the college players and they're like, yeah, we don't really know, we should just draft more of them. Like, we should just trade for lower picks and have more of them because we have no idea.
Yeah, it's more of like a siege mentality.
Yeah, just like, yeah. Oh, we gotta lay in some big guys to defend the tower.
Yeah. But all right, I think that's our time with Katie. Katie, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll talk to you about love any day of the week.
Give me the turn.
I had one more question for you.
Okay.
Has this NBA season made you more or less likely to visit Tampa?
Less. Honestly, if they cannot come back to Toronto next season, which I am honestly, it could go either way at this point, mm-hmm. they should just leave Tampa. I don't know what Tampa has on like Toronto sports in general, because the baseball team is there, the Raptors are there, but they should just pick another city and try their luck there.
Well, thank you, Katie. We'll see you soon. Everybody listen to Basketball. We'll be back in a minute to talk to our crypto friends, Alan Strickland Williams and James Fritz from the Crypto Creeps podcast. What's it called, Sean?
Fake Money.
Yeah, Fake Money. The Crypto Creeps podcast.
This just in. The bull and the bear are clashing. In the blockchain, if you're going to trade fake money, you need some fake financial gurus. Here are James Fritz and Alan Strickland Williams from the Fake Money Podcast with all your crypto / NFT / blockchain / diamond hand / to the moon news.
Hey, we're here with the boys from the Fake Money Podcast. That's right. I just played a drop I made specifically for all your crypto-related needs. I haven't made it yet. We'll hear what the robot came up with. But that's right. James Fritz and Alan Strickland Williams. Guys, we just had you on, but apparently just this this crypto shit is going through the roof.
Crypto, crypto never sleeps.
The glass ceiling.
Well, you know. So, Sean, you've got a series of crypto news you want to walk
the boys.
So let's start it.
All right, so
Bitcoin Bros,
the team that built their arena on the foundation of Tech Bros and the blood of Blood Boys, the Golden State Warriors, are the first team to launch their own NFT collection. That's non-fungible
token.
Token. Thank you. unfortunately, this auction will be it's over in an hour. So
what?
I'm sorry.
Is it on? Is it online? Let's go.
I'm using all my bandwidth right now to record and run these drops.
GSWNFT.com. So here's what they've made. I'm gonna just give you. You can get championship rings. These are the Warriors' 6 NBA championship rings. Now, you may not remember the first two. They were in 1947 and 1956.
In a different city. Well, one was in a different city. Yeah. Those first two.
Those the people on those teams wouldn't even know what we're talking about with this.
Yeah.
So, they'd be like, NFTs!
Ah! They'd be like, is that
Nazi free throws?
Yeah. That's like some FDR department holdover from the New Deal or whatever.
We gotta invest in the NFT and put America back to work.
You're fighting boys are protecting the blockchain over
by the way, the Warriors.
Yeah. We have arrested the first 10 men who did a slam dunk for communism. Sorry.
They're going to jail, everybody.
That'll teach them to touch our rims.
The Warriors play-by-play announcer basically talks like that too, right, Joey?
The radio one, yeah.
The radio guy. He's always like, oh, and a three-pointer for Stephen Curry. What a terrific shot for this guy and our boys in blue. Like he's announcing a horse race. Okay, so they've digitally reproduced these championship rings as limited edition collector NFTs. And the first edition of each championship ring will include a physical version of the ring, custom fitted and designed by famed jewelry designer Jason of Beverly Hills. We all know him.
We live in Los Angeles. We know Jason.
Jason of Beverly Hills.
I know J-Dog.
Now, there is a one-of-one NFT which combines all 6 championship rings in a never-before-seen NFT. It also includes a one-of-a-kind physical ring.
Wait, yeah. So I'm buying an NFT, a piece of art I've never even seen before?
Hmm. Well, you can see the rings. They have pictures of it on the auction site.
Right, but the combined one, it includes one that's never before seen.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think before this auction, it was never seen. It's pretty easy to look at.
But what if they line them up in some weird shape I don't like?
Well, it seemed...
Sean?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Sorry,
I got
so excited and I unplugged my mic.
Wow, my man loves NFTs.
So this also includes a one-of-a-kind ring by Jason of Beverly Hills, which sounds like a monstrosity because it is 6 rings combined into one ring. The Voltron of decadent worthlessness.
Actually, Jason was the artist's name of this monster. All right.
Now that the one of
Jason of Beverly Hills, and I've collected all the rings.
So the one of one Frankenstein championship ring is selling for 10 Ethereums, I believe, which is 29.3K, and that apparently has not met the reserve price. And we do not have a lot of time left in this auction. Most of these reserve prices,
hold on.
But is the reserve price like what they're saying it's worth?
I guess they're not going to sell it if they don't.
It's the lowest they'll sell it for.
And gotcha. So, but it's
none of them have met this.
It's currently like 29,000, and that's not enough for the ring. Well, I guess not. It doesn't meet Jason's standards.
No, you gotta wait for like Chaz Dean, the hairstylist, to come out with some.
No, Dean Wormer is coming out with I think I remember the auction for that $69 million Beeple art thing. I'm pretty sure that like all the activity was like in the last minute.
Oh, so when's the last minute, auction? Sean?
Well, the normal auction is ending tonight, but these special one of ones still have a day to go. So we won't know until 8
p.m.
tomorrow.
We'll keep an eye on it.
The other thing is they've done ticket stubs to celebrate 10 of the most historic games in franchise history. All of these were hand-illustrated and digitally created by the renowned artist, we all know him, we all love him, Black Madre. And they're going to be minted on the blockchain in limited supply. Now, they also have a one-of-one. It's called a golden ticket. It combines all 75 years of Warriors moments into a one-of-one ticket stub NFT. It'll never be duplicated. Now you also get, you get a commemorative ticket stub NFT. You also get to partake in a one in person Warrior for a Day experience, which lets you, you get to sign a mock 1 day contract with the Warriors. You get courtside tickets.
That'll be good for the gram. That'll be good for the gram. Yeah.
And an honorary captain experience and so much more.
Can you pick which day you're a Warrior? I'd go back in time and pick a better day. As long as we're making shit up.
Yeah. Well, it's up to Black Madre, honestly.
Here's the thing. As a Warrior fan, honestly, if I knew it was going to lead to this, I wouldn't have been happy when they won those championships.
Well, I'm a Bulls fan. They tried to launch their own NFT and it blew up the United Center. Yeah, I'll use that in the message thread and the show.
Don't reveal your dirty secrets, Fred.
I don't care. We gotta take the showbiz mask off. These are true fans here.
Okay, put it on the public ledger.
Is that like your talk to the hand?
I got a hard fork for your ass. All these crypto terms we're learning
this
now.
This is what we do now.
This makes me think that we really got to, you know what, what do they say about the actual gold rush? It was like, don't go rushing for gold, open a pickaxe store.
That's actually was that the lyric to Waterfalls by TMZ?
I think so. Either he got it from him or they got it from him. But I think what we got to do is we got to make digital man caves.
Oh, because I feel to like keep all this shit. Yeah.
And where to show it around and stuff.
Oh, but then they'll just make digital interrupting wives.
God damn it.
That's part of the blockchain. That keeps you honest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I get that. So these are again, they have not met the reserve price on this first one too. But again, there's a little more time to left. These historic moments are basically all the championships, the 2007 Warriors winning in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Great. We believe.
The last game at Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first game at the Chase Center.
That's terrible.
Which are not like that. Oh, and then one of the tickets is the game they set the wins record.
Okay. Where that everyone was watching Kobe's last game.
Yeah. So that one is trading for 15,000 right now.
Wait, did you say was anyone from when they upset the Mavs in the playoffs?
Yeah, one of them was from that upsetting the Mavs.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just doesn't seem like they're selling for that? Like, there's a lot that
just
haven't met the reserve
price.
Where's
this money going? Just to Joe Lacob, or is this a charity?
I'm glad you asked. A portion of it goes to the Warriors Community Fund.
Oh, and where does the Community Fund go?
The Warriors Community Fund is actually pretty good.
Okay.
They build a lot of basketball courts around, like, in broken down ones around in Portland.
And can I describe one of these NFTs to you? So that the most, like, the highest selling championship ring, it reminds me mostly of the old HBO logo, because it's like a championship ring floating in space and it keeps rotating, and the front of it has like the two trophies back to back and the Bay Bridge, and it says 2015, and then the top like unscrews and shows you that it says strength in numbers on the inside, and you get like, it's like a 3D rendering of it. And then it, like, it shows you the side that says the town, and then inside, like a digital 18 with the Warriors Bay Bridge logo comes out and like flips, and that appears to be what you get. I guess you get a physical ring from Jason for this one.
Sean, you mentioned HBO, so I just have to do this real quick.
Okay. I'm Bill Simmons, and here's what I believe. I believe the defending NBA champ should wear championship belts to every game. I believe that Kanye is a genius. It's just that he knows it, and that's the problem.
Oh, wow.
I believe we should ban the DH, long putters, extra points, the NIT, and pickoff throws. You really want to know what I believe? I believe in the four-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food. I believe in a Belichick-Popovich presidential ticket. I believe that every DiCaprio movie would be just a little bit better.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I believe you created your whole personality off one scene of Field of Dreams.
Look, is and soup the perfect food?
Bull Durham. Jesus Christ.
Joey hates soup, by the way.
Just all the Kevin Costners mashed into one Boston asshole. Sorry.
So these are like weirdly hypnotic to look at, and I'm glad that I get to watch it, but I would have paid like 5 cents for this.
I found a lot of the art. A lot of the designs and logos and NFT art and everything, it's all very like 80s coked out looking to me. Like, do you know what I mean?
There's also a certain amount of like, what if a blacklight poster was high tech?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it reminds me of a very self-consciously 3D movie where they have to make it do.
Yeah.
Things you wouldn't necessarily be interested, or like it's not really a flattering shot, even.
Yeah,
whoa, like that Friday the 13th moving around.
But like,
or that Friday the 13th, where like this guy has a ping pong paddle all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but it's also there's also like if you're buying, you know, 2 through 50 of this championship ring, and you don't get a physical one, it almost feels like it's rubbing it in your face. Like, hey, look at all these pictures of diamonds. That sure be nice, huh? Well, fuck you.
Also, no.
By the way, the reserve price. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, no one's talking about like the fact that the way the value works means that now all these players' actual championship rings are going to be basically worthless. Just some asshole that works at Google can just like have the ring, you know.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, down on his luck player is trying to get his NFTs back.
Yep.
Out of hock.
I'm just imagining OJ Simpson like raiding a server room somewhere. Like, all right, come on back. Give back the juices, digital hype.
You know what we need to come up with, guys? I just realized this, is we need to somehow pitch far, far into the future NFT Roadshow.
Yes.
Oh, fuck, yes.
NFT home show.
Yeah. Where an expert tells people all the NFTs they have laying around, how much they're worth now.
And let's look at the bottom of this laptop. What's the mark?
And it's just everyone is an elderly person who's long since forgotten their code words.
I wish I knew how to open this Bitcoin wallet. I only have one more attempt. And we'll have to go to a worse home.
Yeah, I had a stroke and it erased the part of my brain for memory of like words. And anyway, what a great invention we made.
All right. Fritz, you said you had to go at 7. Do you have to go?
I can wait. Important people.
Let's do one more, Sean.
We don't have to talk about the other story. Let's rush through this one about so NBA Top Shot was a big deal.
That's why we had you on
for a long time. But people can't get their money out because Dapper Labs, the company behind Top Shot, like can't deal with how successful it's been. It's down for maintenance all the time.
And I've been there, you know. Yeah. Dapper Labs legit sounds like a business like Tom from Parks and Rec
sounds like a Dollar Shave Club or something.
The first quote from this article is, "I just want to get my money out, man," and that is attributed to user Harry in the hashtag vent channel of the Top Shot Discord. Not popping off, not like the Roundball Rock one.
Did they get quotes from Tom and Dick, or was it just... who is that joke for?
killed in the room, Alan.
So you can only withdraw $1,000 at a time, and every wire transfer carries a $25 fee. So they're already that's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Wow.
So you have to take it out in increments of $1,000 and pay $25 for the privilege. But also, most withdrawals are processed within 3 weeks, and this is after, and then some of them take 40 days or more. But this is after the 6 to 8 week waiting period, which is for them to evaluate fraud. And they claim it's because people will do credit card chargebacks. But also, it appears that people are totally using this for money laundering because there's a moment of... Are you guys familiar with Fred Van Vliet?
Yeah.
No.
He's
Fred Van Vliet is it's that band that sort of sounds like Led Zeppelin.
You've heard of him.
So, you know, not that famous a player. He's fine. He's very really scrappy. Good.
You'd like
so him. There's a moment of him hitting a three pointer against the Knicks, and apparently that was minted 15,000 times. You guys explained this to us for an hour. I don't explain how that worked.
I will never buy an NFT. I don't get it either.
So, on April 14th, one of these 15,000 moments of Fred Van Vliet hitting a three against the Knicks with a high serial number sold for $140,000.
Jesus Christ.
And that's just somebody laundering money. There's
that's
no
what
other
the market will bear.
I guess so.
Yeah. The invisible hands up to something. I don't know what, but well, did you guys see too that Bitcoin just showed up in the this is off sports, but in the Joel Greenberg letter, the guy that's like all tied up with the Matt Gaetz thing.
Oh, like, of course.
It showed up. Like there's one point where it was kind of funny because it just came out of nowhere as if why you brought up this point. Like he's just like, there's talk of Roger Stone like orchestrating a pardon within the White House, you know. And at one point, Joel Greenberg just goes, "Is it an issue of money? Would $250,000 in Bitcoin help?"
can you imagine trying to explain Bitcoin to Trump for the pardon bribe too. And they're like, well, they're solving math problems, and their computer is like, he just starts going, shut up, shut up.
Oh, they're like little money. Tiny cheeseburgers. You have to explain everything to him in cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Do you have time for one more quick crypto?
Yeah,
story?
I really, okay. You know, I just said seven.
Oh,
to
okay.
Seem important.
Yeah. So,
wow, good.
On the rundown, your time was fungible, is what you're saying. Your end was fungible. Okay, so the headline I wrote for this is Miami crypto heat. That's not clever at all. I'm sorry. Why did I even tell you that? It was terrible. I just got so disappointed in myself for that notes heading.
What about Miami Mind Machine?
Miami, there we go. Okay, so a company called FTX.us, I believe is their official name, they paid $135 million over 19 years for the naming rights to the Miami Heat's arena. They were formerly the American Airlines Arena, and they're on like a flight path from the airport. But the deal expired last year, and no one was buying the naming rights to an arena during the pandemic, apparently.
What?
Yeah. Now, FTX is the official and exclusive cryptocurrency exchange partner of the Miami Heat.
Now, I love that, too, because I can't really speak for James, but... I've been getting kind of into the crypto thing for the past, you know, 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Never heard of this. I would, like, if you told me that Coinbase was going to, like, be the namesake of an arena, I'd be like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Or even Binance.
This is an exchange, right? Yeah.
It's an exchange, yeah.
There's a reason for that. Alan,
use it in America, right?
Yeah.
It's only international.
When the FTX.com page is open, the splash page reads, quote, "It is prohibited to access or use our services, including the FTX cryptocurrency derivatives exchange platform, if you are located in, established in, or a resident of the United States of America."
There's
now
some
go
I know there's some there is some sort of workaround that I know you can do. I forget what it's called.
You can go to FTX.us apparently, and that solves it. But a guy asked about that from a Miami paper, and the guy's answer was just, emerging industry. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
People are figuring it out.
Guys, can I get a little update on their Twitter that doesn't have me feeling very confident in this company? What? Their most recent tweet, 10:35 p.m., 4:30:21. Can we has the at verified tick, please? They're begging to be verified. They're not verified. I would get verified first, then name a stadium. That's the order I would go in.
So this is going to run... This naming... The naming rights of this stadium...
But the photo with this tweet, James.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like a koi...
Black
emoji, but he's like pushing his fingers. I hate it.
Yeah.
This company is the worst emoji I've ever seen.
So the naming rights to this stadium last for 19 years. I want to ask you, our crypto experts, what are the chances this stadium is still named this in 2 years?
Yeah, in 19 months. Will it last 19 months?
I mean, with tweets like that, no. That's terrible.
I think that it'll be 900. I think that this is gonna be the start of something truly beautiful between the city. Well, because they're gonna convert Miami, the city. They're gonna actually put it on the blockchain eventually. So this is Miami's actually gonna be the entry point to the singularity, which a lot of people didn't see coming.
Yeah.
But I've been saying that for a long time. I have gone on record saying that.
But yeah, I you know, I think maybe I this is just so funny that it's not, you can't even really use it. I want to support my team, you know, but yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, how'd you get it? Why are you a Heats fan or a Heats fan? That's I gotta study my note cards before. But it's like, oh, wait, was your dad into the Heat? Like, oh no, you know, I just really like the exchange that the arena's named for. Big FTX guy.
I want in.
All right, Sean, you want to run us through our last story?
Oh yeah, our last story, real quick.
Not crypto related, but
yeah, this is not crypto related. I feel like you guys would appreciate this. So we have been following the world of dog racing, obviously, because of a magical little greyhound that could
named Clon Brian Hero, who is an Irish greyhound who kept getting tested positive for cocaine.
And he kept winning races. That's the most important thing. He kept winning. And the owner claimed that somebody who used cocaine must have petted the dog.
Yeah,
and that's why he kept repeatedly testing positive for cocaine.
I believe that's called an Irish goodbye.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's a new champion greyhound, and he also likes to party, guys. So a greyhound trainer has been disqualified for 4 months and fined $3,500. This is in New Zealand, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. The dog's name is Zipping Sarah. This happened at the Addington Raceway in Christchurch. And Zipping Sarah finished first, winning a stake of just over $4,000. But they did not pay the stake because of post-race urine samples from Zipping Sarah. Imagine that was your job for a moment. Getting the racing greyhound to produce a urine sample.
You got to watch.
Yeah.
Some dogs have like a fake penis full of dog pee.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a dirty sport. You know, they go.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And it's meth and amphetamine was in that dog's.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I could have told you that because her name was Zipping Sarah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I knew a couple Zipping Sarahs back in Kentucky back in the day.
I grew up in Florida, which is one of the few. It's really funny because dog racing, you're only really allowed to do it in like three places. And of course, one of them is Florida. And so all I'm saying is I just think it's great when you see that a culture can unite people from across the globe. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Trash people of every country can we used to go to the Greyhound track to get ribs, which I also found very sadistic and strange, but they were absolutely delicious. But there is definitely a sort of a, are the dogs in the meat pie?
That was my first thought.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spell it out.
No, see, I wouldn't. Oh. But that shows the difference between mine and your brain, Alan, because I would have been like, oh, it's so nice they're letting the people make all the bones for these dogs to snack on after this race.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's an animal rights group in New Zealand that's trying to come out against doping greyhounds, obviously, but also
but it's just make part it of the clear sport. That yeah, right, it's just part of the sport, you know? If someone else is doing it, you gotta do it, okay?
Right.
Sorry.
Peer pressure. They don't know. But also it's like it's just incredibly dangerous for dogs, even if they're not on cocaine or meth. So that the organization's like, well, like 300 dogs this year have already been injured in New Zealand racing and 8 have died. So
but they all
but died. They died doing what they love.
Yeah, they died clean. They died clean.
They just met spuds in heaven.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that maybe that was the real story of Spuds McKenzie. It's just dangerously dangerous.
Yes, sorry. Spuds is like the Rick Ross of the dog world.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for coming on, guys. What? Let's start with Alan. Alan, what would you like to plug?
Oh, they got me. They got my half hour on the Paramount.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, watch Alan's half hour Comedy Central special Paramount Plus.
Thank you.
Are they gonna let you climb that mountain? Climb Paramount Mountain?
They're giving me an NFT.
Okay.
You know that is totally going to be a part of showbiz soon. Like, in lieu of payment, here's an NFT.
Oh, it's going to be an NFT of exposure. It's going to be yours.
Fritz.
Oh, God.
James Fritz, what would you like to plug?
I'd like to plug Alan's set. It's really good. You should watch it. Paramount Plus, Alan Strickland Williams. One of the better half James hours. Album. Alan, I'm plugging you. Shut the fuck up. One of the best half hours I think anyone's ever done. I put it up there with, like, Hedberg, the legends, you know, Alan Strickland Williams. Love the geniuses in your life while they're still on Earth, I say. Don't treat them like a greyhound on speed. They could be gone tomorrow.
Damn, anyway. I've got to get down to the track.
Let's go, boys. Let's
go. Listen to the Fake Money podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, right.
Sean, what do you have to plug?
Self-care comedy on Zoom. It's winding down in May. Final Fridays in May are going to be the last ones. Then it switches to a weekly. Nice. So I'll be doing it once a month in June. Nice. Because things are open and people want to hear human laughter when comedians are there instead of seeing the inside of people's bedrooms. Also, we have like a really loyal crowd, which means like I feel bad repeating material. Mm-hmm. And we are a few months in now, and sometimes I'm just telling a story that does not reflect well on me, but doesn't necessarily have any insight or funniness to it, and it's just like, wow, you were a terrible boyfriend, and I'm like, yeah, I know. So your next comic,
sold.
Please tip.
And then
I want to see this.
I'm hosting, and my face is always on camera. There's no breaks. I'm the host, but I can't even go outside.
And then, as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on April 30th, 2015, I tweeted at Wikipedia, how do I get someone to stop writing false information on my Wikipedia page? It's really frustrating. Sean, did you write a song?
Yeah, I do. I actually wanted, while these guys are here, I have decided to step into the big shoes of, there was a man, an indie rocker, Joey, you may have heard of him, who once announced that he was going to do an album about all 50 states. How many did he do, Joey? What was his name?
His name is Sufjan Stevens, and he did two, and an EP that has a song about Rhode Island on it, I think.
Yeah. Not even the best song about Rhode Island. Which is obviously Blossom Dearies, Rhode Island is famous for you. So here's what I'm going to do, Joey. Over the next series of episodes, I'm going to be releasing a song about every single NBA city.
Great.
I like it. And we're starting
gauntlet being thrown. I like it. Get off your ass, Sufjan.
Sufjan, he had a chance. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting patiently. And yet...
Shit or get off the Sufjan.
That is what I am saying. Shit or get off the Sufjan. So this is my effort. I was going to... I mean, we talked about Kevin Love a lot at the top of this episode. And, you know, we didn't. I have a lot of songs about Kevin Love. We're not going to play those. That's a Stevens move. We're going to have a song. We're going to start in Atlanta. And this is a Neutral Milk Hotel song about John Collins in the dunk contest. And you can get a t-shirt of that dunk contest at the Round Ball Rock
Public store.
Public store.
Link is in the description. Patreon.com/roundrockpod. That's our show.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Sorry. The song's called On the Aeroplane Under the Rim.
That's hilarious. All right. That's great.
I love it.
Trust the process and
trust the process.
Shut trust it down. Me. Let's all tell Sufjan Stevens to go suck a dick. All right.
What a beautiful plane I have found in the lane, made of balsa wood for the right bros. Like the Kia with Blake, I will jump this plane fake, and surely I'll get a 10 from Meek. Magnifique! And I'll start doing commercials for Boeing. My optimism was rash, and then down I did crash on the airplane under the rim. With a scarf around my neck, both the wings, they got wrecked, and I tossed off the goggles cause I couldn't see. No siree, I was roasted hard by Kenny and Reggie. To get swole, Dennis Smith jumped J. Cole, Miles Bridges wore a grandmama jersey. One guy's arm through the hoop, Curry threw alley-oops. I had actors dressed as airmen from history. Tuskegee pilots, not the syphilis experiment. The plane dunk got a 42. Eights from Dean Brown and Alonzo too. While Shaq teamed up with Hamadou, I wore Adidas on my feet. They used Dwayne Wade and Muggsy Bogues and celeb MVP Quavo. He held the ball in a give and go, and Team LeBron would win the game.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.